Welcome to Food Fix, where we talk with researchers who are figuring out how to better feed the world. I'm your host, Shayna Roth. Malawi, also known as the warm heart of Africa, is a landlocked country with 80% of the population employed in agriculture. But according to World Bank, 50% of the population lives below the poverty line. Better education for farmers could help them grow more crops, earn more money, and improve their quality of life. Government extension officers visit villages to educate farmers, but there are too few extension workers to meet the educational needs of a large rural community. Can replacing extension workers with how-to videos solve this problem? A team of researchers explored the potential for using participatory videos to educate farmers about new agricultural practices. Kirk Mason recently obtained his undergraduate degree from the Department of Media and Information at Michigan State University. He received student internship funding from the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation at MSU to visit Malawi and produce participatory videos, along with a team of researchers from the department. Ali Hussein is our resident expert on student innovations and research, and he spoke with Kirk for the Food Fix.
Hi, Kirk, and welcome to Food Fix.
Hello.
A majority of Malawians will grow up to work in agriculture. How do they normally obtain their agricultural education?
I think agriculture is really a family business. The children grow up in working on farms. They're working for their family's farm. It's not so much that people go to school to learn how to be farmers. It's kind of just the way that life is. People are always farmers. It just comes to them, and you know, their family's been doing it for so long that they know how to do it since birth.
Explain the problem with agricultural extension. Why is it difficult in Malawi?
Agricultural extension in Malawi is very important. I think that the government sending people to villages to help educate people on better tactics for farming is very important. But a lot of times, the extension workers aren't able to get to some of the more far-reaching places. That presents a challenge because, you know, if a year or a few months even goes by without knowledge of some newer technique, then they fall behind and it's harder for them to keep up.
So what are the participatory videos and how could they help educate rural farmers?
So the idea behind participatory videos is that when the extension workers aren't able to go to certain villages because there are too many to visit or they have deadlines elsewhere, these videos could be stored in the villages by the lead farmer or some other authority figure, and they could be shown to farmers and community members as a way of having like an extension meeting without the extension officer being there. So they'll play the video for farmers with a specific topic in mind, like how to cook something a different way or how to use this conservation practice. So that way they can get the training without an extension officer being there.
Where did the idea for participatory videos come from?
The group of researchers that I was working with acquired the idea for these participatory videos from an organization based in India called Digital Green, and they use the same methods that we were using, where they create a video that's participatory, so community members are helping to make the video, whether that's shooting or acting in it, and then they put them in the community.
So how did you decide which topics to address in the videos?
Deciding on the topics to make in the participatory videos is a little bit difficult. We did a needs assessment survey when we first got to Malawi to see what sort of things might be useful, and ultimately just made videos based on extension workshops that were happening in the area. We thought it would be good to use those as topics for the videos because people were already coming out to see them, and we have a control group. We'd be able to compare our videos, the participatory videos that we were making, with the actual extension workshops that the extension officers were putting together. We could tell the difference between the video and the live workshop and see whether our videos were working or not.
What topics did you work on?
We worked on conservation agriculture using old maize stalks as fertilizer for new crops. And then also we worked on a video that was like a cooking show. So it had two women and a man cooking some ingredients that people usually just throw away. They were able to take those ingredients and mix them with other things and make a new dish that is nutritious. And it's a way to not waste food.
How do you ensure the participatory element in the videos?
Well, what Digital Green does is they train community members how to use the cameras. And so they're doing everything. They're shooting, they're acting. But we didn't really have a lot of time to be able to have training sessions. So what we did was I just shot the videos, but we had lead farmers and their family members and members from the community in the videos themselves. They did all the acting. The research team well, Hastings Chiwasa from the Longwa University of Agricultural and Natural Resources in Malawi was kind of the director for the shoot. He told them what to say and what the content should be in the videos. Then they were the actors, and that was really good. That added a lot to the videos because the communities in which the videos were shown knew those people, so it was made it very relatable.
You actually got to screen the videos for farmers in Malawi. Can you set the scene for us? What was it like?
So when we screened the videos in the villages, we informed the lead farmer beforehand that we were coming so we could make sure that everyone would be at the designated place of screening on the day that we came. And we would either screen them in a church or a school or just a community center, a place where everyone is familiar with, and there was somewhat darkness so that the projector was able to shine on a wall. I also brought a large piece of white paper that I would tape onto the wall to act as kind of like a movie screen. And I would just hook up my computer, which had the videos on it, to the projector and some speakers so that everyone could hear. They would all gather around, mostly farmers and adults, but occasionally children would come in too, and older community members as well.
How did the farmers respond to these videos?
Well, in the videos, we tried to add an element of humor because that's something that we learned would probably be very important in the videos because, you know, Malawians love humor in their videos. So we wanted to have jokes in it, and so we wrote those into the scripts of the videos. So the lead farmers that were acting in the video, you know, they were entertaining to all the people watching it. And that's another way we got the videos to be a little bit more relatable, was to not have it be so serious and informational. We wanted it to be somewhat funny. So people were laughing at the videos, and some people were taking notes. I saw a few people bring notebooks in and were taking notes about the different steps. And then at the end of the videos, we also added a kind of like a title or like a slide that has the different steps. And we had somebody there to kind of talk about each one individually and go over any questions if there were any. There was a lot of interest in the videos, and a lot of people hadn't seen any sort of extension work like that before, so it was very interesting for them.
Did female farmers have any different response?
Gender roles came into play in the cooking video. We wanted to make sure that both men and women were represented working in the kitchen to kind of say that it's okay that both men and women can do the cooking. However, some people were, some of the female farmers and participants in this project were laughing and complaining about how the man in the cooking video, he came into the kitchen only to bring new ingredients and to say, hey, can we cook these? And then he did all the taste testing too. So people were laughing at that. But I think overall, in the conservation agriculture video, there wasn't too much. I think that both men and women kind of took away the same lessons from them.
Did you see any different responses based on age?
As far as children go, I think that they were just really excited to see a projector and watch a movie. I think mostly they were just really excited to watch a movie. The older people who were watching thought it was also very interesting. They weren't as excitable as the children, of course. But overall, everyone just really, really enjoyed them.
What hurdles and challenges did you face during the video production?
On my end, I didn't really speak the local language very well. I learned a little bit of Chitewa, but not enough to be able to tell the actors what to be doing. But thankfully, we had Hastings Chiwasa, the researcher from the university in Malawi, there to direct everything. He was able to really help make the videos come out. And the biggest challenge was just finding the topics for the video. But once we got that, we just had to write the scripts in collaboration with Hastings so that he could kind of inform us on any cultural things that we might run into and how we can work with them in the script.
What cultural sensitivities did you need to keep in mind during the project?
So, and this doesn't apply just for Malawians, this applies for everyone. When I bring my camera into an atmosphere, the mood changes instantly. So not a lot of rural Malawians have a chance to be actors. So as soon as I bring my camera there, then everything changes. And it's really interesting to see how they can get comfortable around a camera and doing something that they probably haven't done very many times before.
Is there any research to show that this approach has an impact on behavior and ultimate food security?
Yeah, so after the video screenings happened, we waited a week and then we came back to the individual villages where the videos were screened and we had them take a survey to talk about whether they learned things from it or kind of just a little quiz to say, what did you learn from this video? What do you do in this case? or what do you do in this situation, where they would find the answer in the video if they had taken notes or if they remembered from watching it or if they had put it into practice. So for the conservation agriculture one, that was a little bit harder to find answers or to see if people had adopted the practice of conservation agriculture that was in the video, because we only gave them a little bit over a week to do it. And a lot of people's maize stalks had already been burned for cooking or used somewhere else. But with the cooking show, we found that a lot of people had actually gone home and within that week tried making one of the dishes. So that was really encouraging to see that people had actually adopted that new cooking method.
So what are the next steps? Do you have ideas and plans to continue the project?
The research team is going back to Malawi this summer to scale up. And I think just in the future, just working with more than just three small villages, working on a larger scale and working more with the extension office. I want to get more results and more data on a larger scale.
Thank you for your time, Kirk. We really appreciate this.
Thank you.
Kirk Mason received his undergraduate degree in the Department of Media and Information at Michigan State University. He is currently working as a freelancer on video production projects.
Thanks for listening. How do you prefer to learn new information? From videos, a book, or talking to someone in person? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you have any questions or comments, you can email us at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com. Food Fix is produced by Ali Hussein, Casey Wurst, and myself, Shayna Roth. Karina Baskett is our managing editor. Our theme music is the song Watching My Garden Grow by two of our favorite Michigan artists, Lindsay Liu and Josh Rilko. Funding for the podcast is provided by the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation at Michigan State University, a development lab funded by USAID. Thanks for listening.